And good morning and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ. It is January 12th, 2025. Still trying to get used to saying 25. It just, it's hard to believe that we're into the new year, but praise God. I'm excited about it. Had a good 2024 and hope you folks out there did as well. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We ask, Father, that you continue to protect us from the hands of our enemies, those that seek to blot your name out, those that hate you, those that devise wicked plans. Father, we just pray that you deliver us from them and that you deal with them as you see fit. Father, we lift up those that are out there that are our people, Father, that are battling these fires in California. Don't know how many of them, or if there's any of us that are out there, but Lord, we know that you do. And we ask, Father, that you, if there is any of your people out there that love you and that serve you, Father, or those that are willing to repent, Father, we pray, Father, that you spare them and that you protect them and that you protect their properties, that you be with them and that you just surround them with angelic forces, that you put a hedge of protection around them and that you just allow them to survive these fires. We thank you, Father, for your guidance and your direction. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. You know, these fires are a big deal out there in California, and it's just about everywhere you look. In watching the video footage of it, it's basically, it's just, you know, pure devastation in a lot of places. And well, a couple of things that we're going to be talking about is basically the wrath of God and knowing who your enemies are. And I think that it all ties together. And we're going to be talking about that in today's message. But before we get started, I think we're going to have a couple songs. I want to start off with I've Got a River of Life.
I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, spring up a well inside my soul, spring up a well and make me whole, spring up a well and give to
that song. And we're going to do another song. Next one is Fire in the Hole.
Standing tall and proud, drill full of holes as soldiers shouting holy prayers out loud. Pour out holy hate and anger, be fervent, strong, and bold. Call down righteous fire from up above and yell fire in the hole. Fire in the hole, fire in the hole. Our Lord God Almighty is letting His wrath unfold. There's kingdom justice coming that can't be bought or sold. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God's fire is in the hole. Call down fire, God's fire. Call down fire in the hole. The snakes are running, not wanting to be found. See them seeking cover, trying to hide to go underground. Let anointing flow all around, their destruction's been foretold. Soldiers, call the fire on down, put God's fire in the hole. Fire in the hole, fire in the hole. Our Lord God Almighty, His righteous anger rolls. There's kingdom justice coming that can't be bought or sold. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God's fire is in the hole. Call down fire, God's fire. Call down fire in the hole. Your party is now over, you wicked tares of hell. The fire is drawing closer, the heat's starting to swell. The flames are growing higher, Satan's going down, down, down,
down, down, down.
Can you hear the Gideon chanting as Babylon hits the ground? Fire in the hole, fire in the hole. Our Lord God Almighty, fire removes the wicked souls. There's kingdom justice coming that can't be bought or sold. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God's fire is in the hole. Call down fire, God's fire. Call down fire, holy fire. Call down fire in the hole. God's fire in the hole.
And I want to start off with a scripture. Let's turn it down up here. Found in Revelation 18. And he cried out with a mighty voice. I'm starting in verse 2. And it says, he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison and every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I have heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. And I read this yesterday, and the reason that I read it yesterday on the radio is because when I read that, it reminded me of Hollywood and California. And we're going to have be talking about that this morning. It is a hell of a place, and it certainly is right now. The fires are burning hot. The video's just, basically sideways fire because the wind's blowing so hot. Destruction is just about everywhere. And, there's people that are, pointing the finger at in every direction. They're pointing it at the governor. They're pointing it at the fire chiefs. They're pointing it at everybody but God. And I really believe when you look into us that it is they're reaping the wrath of God. And, you know, just like we talked about when these hurricanes came through in North Carolina and stuff, it was, you know, we reached out to our people, and our people were spared, and they were healthy. I mean, they might have lost power for a couple hours, but God had his hand protecting them. And I know that that's what was keeping our people safe. And God can do the same thing there in California. And when we talk about the wrath of God coming down, we got the wrath of God coming down on us as a nation, and it works in nations, it works in states, it works on a people. And just because we see the wrath of God, when we talk about the wrath of God coming down, it's not going to affect everybody. It's not going to. It's going to affect the ungodly, and it does not affect the righteous. And I want people to remember that, because we're going to be talking about some of the things. And I don't want people to, you know, say that, oh, I'm just pointing my finger at the state of California. There's a lot of good people in California. And we've got, me and my wife, we have a lot of family still in California. And, you know, and they're good, salt of the earth, good people. And, you know, it's, see the wrath of God coming down on part of that state. And, you know, just encourage people to keep those that are ours in the prayers, because we don't want to be fighting God, and we don't want to pray for, you know, these fires to miraculously go out, because I believe this is his hands at work. And, you know, it wanted to start off with, basically, before we get into that, Dragon Slayer Volume 1 is, well, hopefully it'll be on the presses tomorrow. Lord willing, that is the plan. Brother Zach called me yesterday afternoon and said, you know, he's like, hey, is there any way that you can come up with something for tomorrow? Because I got something I've been working on, and it's done. And he's like, I can't make it. You know, we call it the 10-minute rule, and it's, you know, it's basically in 10 minutes the next thing's going to change. But was working on correspondence yesterday and trying to get caught up on that. And I know that did talk to a couple people that were upset with me about not getting back to them right away, and I apologize. Just things have been busy, you know, as, you know, trying to get caught up on that, and that's, you know, on my list of to-dos, but wanted to get this newsletter on the printing presses as soon as possible. And wanted to start off with that. But we're going to go ahead and also Salvation – pull up that Salvation page there, Richard. We do got those videos. I know that there's some new people that have been joining us and that are going to be here today and have been for the last couple of weeks. But also wanted to pull up this page. And if you go to scriptures4america.org, I got these six videos that I put up there. And they're short videos, but it's on the subject of salvation and baptism for the remission of sins and why it's important. And goes very in depth, and I don't think that anybody can take the time and watch all six of those videos and argue or not believe that baptism is essential for salvation. So go to scriptures4america.org, and then right there at the top in that blue, right there, yep, salvation. You click that, and then the videos pop up, and I encourage you, if you haven't seen them, start with video one and watch all six of them. And there's occasionally, I send a lot of people to these, and occasionally I go back and watch them too. It was a fun project. Glad we got to do that many years ago. And finally was able to get them formatted and get on the website. So check that out if you get a chance. And I want to start off with reading a little bit of, you know, from in the column of from the editor on the that I was working on this week. It I think that it ties in with what we're going to be talking about today, and what the theme that I want to go with in the next year, at least at the beginning of this year, on knowing who our enemies are. Go ahead and bring that up, Richard. And I just want to read part of this. I think that it applies. And this was a letter to the editor. Dear SFA, Volume 7 of The Dragon Slayer, Going to the Prophets and Babylon, was very informative. The seven M's really capture where we are today. I just wonder in this next administration if the anti-Semitism will become an issue of free speech. There are those in our bought and paid for Congress who would like to punish by law who would disagree on certain issues. So much for free speech. Thank you for your voice and stand in the evil times we live in. P.S. How do you understand Jeremiah 31:27 to mean? Race mixing, immigration, invasion? Please respond. God bless. From Minnesota. And this is what I replied with, and I believe that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, and wanted to get several people's input on it. And I wrote this. Dear David, thank you for your support that we received in December, and thank you for the question that you asked. How do you understand Jeremiah 31:27 to mean? Race mixing or immigration, invasion? Any thoughts? Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seeds of mankind and the seeds of animals. At first, my response was going to be simply, it's about Israel being scattered because of the Assyrian and Babylonian conquest. After thinking about it more, I believe there is a lot more. It stimulated a lot of thought, and I plan on using this in an upcoming Dragon Slayer. I believe the scripture may mean race mixing and immigration invasion. I believe it is an agriculture reference when the Lord says he will sow the seeds. Some seeds can be sown but not bear fruit until years later. Incrementalism. Also, I do not believe race mixing necessarily means the offspring of interracial relations. Each race has its own culture, and certainly when races are forced to integrate, cultures mix. I believe the seeds of the animal has been sown repeatedly by governments, churches, etc. The case in point is the forced integration of public school system in the United States. To my knowledge, no westernized nation had integrated schools until the United States. This was the seed that was sown that has repeatedly born fruit. The music, mindset, morals of non-European people were forced onto us, and it has led to prayer leaving our schools, transgender teens and kids believing they are cats and needing litter boxes in school bathrooms. Not to mention all the interracial dating and mongrel children that results from it. All of this is the fruit of the animal. It is also important to remember the Lord can use our enemy to fulfill what he said he would do. His judgments against Israel have been carried out in many ways by many different peoples. Sowing seeds is a weapon used by the enemy. Our enemy, Esau, Edom, have sown the seeds of communism, civil rights, and the lie of Judeo-Christianity, mass illegal alien invasion, etc., in an attempt to move Israel as far away from God as possible. They hate God and want to do everything they can to pollute our blood and break our ties to Him. One more thing, it is interesting to think about original sin and the breaking of fellowship with God being the result of eating forbidden poison fruit. The serpent, Satan, wanted us to eat that enticing fruit, which resulted in bitterness, pain, destruction, and separation from God. Satan's children are still enticing our people to eat of the fruit of their seed with the exact same results. I hope and pray this helps answer your question, and these are just my thoughts on the scripture. There are a lot better Bible scholars than me. God bless. And I think that's how I started off from the editor in this last Dragon Slayer. And we're going to be talking about who our enemies are. And I got a video. The video, first one that we're going to show is the one on your computer, Richard. And we'll show this one. I just, a brother from California actually sent this to me last night. And it's I couldn't get it completely formatted the way that I wanted it to. But I wanted to share this with you because I think that it's important.
Is The Speaker of the House says he will arrest any members of Congress who dare to interrupt Benjamin Netanyahu's speech inside of Congress next week. Again, he is threatening members of America's Congress with arrest if they interrupt a foreign leader giving them advice on what to do. And look at this article. It's from the Times of Israel. How much power does a foreign country have over us where American politicians would be arrested if they spoke out against that dictator, who's apparently a dictator of America, too? No country in the world would ever allow something like this. Israel themselves would never allow the President of the United States to ever go visit their version of Congress, the Knesset, to give advice to them. This is absurd. And when Benjamin Netanyahu gives his speech on camera, it is also broadcasting to the world that Israel rules America.
And that's getting, that video right there has thousands and thousands and thousands of views. And just proved to me that there's a lot of people that are waking up, and they're waking up to how much Jewish power there is in America. And it is all over the place. And I was looking for other videos this morning, and ran across a lot of Johnson stuff, and boy, the more that I seen him speak, the more I don't like the guy. It just to me, he just reminds me of a beady-eyed Jew. It's obvious that, you know, who's writing him a paycheck, and you can see from that video. And he gets up there, and he's got all kinds of videos that are threatening this and threatening that, and it's something. I'm not saying I know everything about the guy by any means. I know that there's a lot of Christian conservatives out there that were been praising this guy. To me, it was exciting that, you know, people are exposing it and saying, hey, what's going on? The next video that we're going to have is, this is just another clip that I wanted to share. It was from a podcast, and I watch these guys on a pretty regular basis, and boy, they're getting radical and more radical all the time. And they're standing up and speaking the truth. And I'm encouraged by that. We'll go ahead and have that one on DEI, the short one.
I am super inspired.
She took time out of her already busy schedule to tell us about her vision for the department's future, one that includes a 3-year strategic plan to increase diversity.
People ask me, well, what number are you looking for? I said, I'm not looking for a number. It's never enough.
Out of 3,300 city firefighters, only 115 are women right now. She's already looking at ways to change that. She's quick to point out that doing so has a greater purpose, attracting the best and brightest for the job.
They feel included, they feel valued, and they feel part of a cohesive team.
Okay, so instead of focusing on getting strong men to be firemen, You are trying to find ways to get ladies involved so they feel included.
Firemen, it's in the name.
Yeah.
And we had to change it because the lesbian got control, right?
Yeah, so they're focused on inclusion and making people feel good. And then over the years, they've been trying to get rid of white guys. As a headline from NPR, firefighting is mostly white and male. A California program aims to change that. Okay.
Yeah. Is that good? Do we know? Are we going to figure anything out? Or we just don't want it to be what it is right now?
Exactly.
It's not like born out of a deficit or born out of like incompetence. It's just like we don't like that. Some of those good high-paying jobs need to go to our lesbian friends.
Yeah, and then if you look at L.A., they haven't had, like, a horrible fire situation. There's been the wildfires in Northern California, but, like, it seems like L.A.'s been okay for a while. And, like, you read the Matt Walsh tweet?
Los Angeles deliberately set out to exclude white men from becoming firefighters, and now they don't have enough firefighters to prevent their city from burning to the ground. DEI is a cancer that destroys everything it touches. And obviously that's what we think, and this sort of attention to DEI – when it comes time to emergencies, it's like any time you spent not preparing for an emergency and then talking about DEI, calling in the news crew over DEI, it's like it's just not a good look. Whether or not that really impacted something or not, people are going to judge it and look at it in like from a horrible lens, right?
Exactly. Especially when we get to the details of how much the firefighters have been struggling resource-wise.
Yeah.
Before we get there. Keep in mind, too, L.A. got rid of a lot of really good firefighters because they weren't going to get the vaccine during COVID.
113.
Yep, removed. And then there's a tweet I saw here that summed up the firefighting lesbian situation the best.
The entire city of LA is on fire, and it's just a whole bunch of girl bosses in charge. Like, what do we do now? There's a reason men have been in charge of people's safety for like 10,000 years. LOL, I'm sorry if this offends someone.
That's what we're dealing with.
Fire them.
Fire lady.
Yeah, it feels good to include everyone, and you're the fire chief.
You're the best.
You're the assistant. We're all lesbians. We're wearing the outfits. We can do it.
Gee, it's a little white in here, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? It's burning?
Get the white guys out. We want to change everything. We're in charge now. And then the city burns, and no one, there's no water in the fire hydrant.
And you know what? It's obviously a zero-sum game. When you hire a lesbian, some competent, normal white guy didn't get hired, right? And that's – they've obviously been discriminating against hiring-wise because they start from the bottom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They start from the ranks. They don't just bring in someone to the high end. But another piece, which this might be a little weird for my thought process to go to, is – when you pay one of these fire lady lesbians 400 grand for like some top job, it's like, couldn't that go to like some father of six who's running a family? What's she going to Bora Bora?
Yeah, who knows how to run a firehouse maybe.
Yeah, no, and like I'm talking about just like money and like high salaries. Like obviously if you create your own wealth or like start a small business, it's like enjoy it, lesbian. Mm-hmm. Go to Bora Bora, put in that wine freezer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But there's part of me that, like, this is public taxpayer-funded jobs. Wouldn't you kind of want to incentivize, like, some guy with a big family?
Yeah, because lesbians, if they don't have kids, they just go on vacation.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a great point.
So,
and I think that says a whole lot. And that's becoming stuff that's being said and being put out there. It's on the radio. It's on YouTube. And, you know, the censorship has really toned itself down. They've constantly tried to censor things like this. But, I mean, just the fact that 113 firefighters lost their job because they weren't going to take the jab. And, you know, praise God that they didn't. You know, they got out, and we're seeing a lot of people that are having health problems due to taking the jab. And a lot of people, you know, really, you know, think that they didn't have a choice. Well, here's 113 firefighters that quit their job because they put their tongue to the top of their mouth and said no. And looking at a lot of the other reports, there's people out there that white males that have been on the hiring list for the fire department there, have all their credentials, have gone through their training, and been waiting for 7 years, 10 years, to get on, and everybody else has got a job before them. The blacks, the Mexicans, the lesbians. If you fall into these other groups, you were guaranteed a job and were hired within days. And it just goes to show that the white Christian male has been targeted in America. And a lot of the DEI stuff did start right there in that area. That's where a lot of it came out of. And, you know, there are a lot of people that just a lot of stuff that's going on out there. Go woke and go broke. But this fire department has been a big deal. And, you know, people are pointing the fingers at the fire department. And it's like, well, yeah, it's part of the problem. And it's brought the wrath of God on a lot of that, a lot of those areas. So I did wanted to share that. Also, I guess one of the videos that we had, we're not going to have it, so we're going to go a little bit of a different direction. But I did hear, I was watching a Charlie Kirk video earlier this week, and it was kind of the same thing. It was, you know, they were coming against the governor and the mayor and this and that. And one of the people that I saw speak had this quote, and I wrote it down, and it said, and this was coming from somebody that was speaking in front of, I don't know if it was the governor or who it was, but it said, don't put your faith in the politicians, put your faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, to be said on the platform that it was said, I thought it was rather remarkable. And it 100% truth. And that's what we need to be doing, and we need to remember that. I know that there's a lot of people out there that put way too much faith in the politicians and think that we're going to vote our way out of this. We're not going to vote our way out of a sin problem. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust. And, you know, we need to continue to remember that. But we need also need to continue and remember to pray for our politicians and want to encourage people to do just that. And we're going to go ahead and have some notes on from Pastor Peters. And the message that you just heard was Notes on Spiritual Warfare by Pastor Peters, and we'll be playing that in the hour after also. And that was a message that was on 2009, and I believe it was May 3rd, and that was the two-year birthday for baby Rachel. And it was a heart-wrenching message. Pastor Peters and Rachel had a very strong connection, and God's the one that saved her, and God's the one that saved Rachel, and I know that. But sometimes God puts people in your house, in your life, and he uses people to save other people. And Pastor Peters was one that he was put into our lives to help save Rachel. And we learned a lot through that spiritual warfare and through those fights and those battles that we fought, it was a fight and it was hard, but thank God that God is the one that delivered us. And sometimes God will put somebody in your life that God uses to save your life. And sometimes you might be that person in somebody else's life that God is using to save their life. And just be humble about it. If God's using you, or if God's using somebody else in your life, just remember to be humble about it, because God gets the credit for it. We'll go ahead and have that.
And so now I have a special song. That song was sang by the children. And we have a child here that's now 2 years old. It's hard to believe that 2 years ago, time is flying, I put out a call on the radio. And God bless you people, you answered the call. You never heard Pastor Peters in all the years you've heard him on the radio make a call for money, and we got to have some kind of crisis to have you come and help us and so forth and so on. But you heard me that night cry out and said, I need your help. Those dirty, damnable, slithering snakes down there, that children's hospital, owned by the Jewish hospital, is it not? I think it is. Isn't it? Yeah, it's experimental hospital. They were going to take this little baby Rachel. And this old gal come riding in on a broom after I'd been down there with my staff and met with all those doctors. She pulled a fast one on us, was going to do a series of how many spinal taps? I know a killer when I see a killer. Two a day for how many days? I thank God that I was in that children's hospital when I was a little boy with polio. And I remember that spinal tap and how painful it was. And I wasn't weighing 2 pounds at the time. And, of course, they had to sign a document acknowledging that there was a chance of, what were some of the symptoms, the consequences? Paralysis, brain damage, and death could happen on one. And they wanted to do a series of them. And then that lying doctor at that court said, oh, it was no more different than poking the heel to get blood. Bunch of liars out there. I went on the air and I called for you people to cry out, and I told my people that were on my staff at the time, when you commit the battle, you commit it all. And you people came to the forefront and started making your phone calls. We shut down the lines there in the children's hospital. They got calls as far as Australia, to Canada, New Zealand, all over. They found out it wasn't just a little child. That child was being prayed for, and I tell you something, the good news is she's here today, 2 years. Pardon? With no spinal taps. Oh, I could tell you more on that story. Her name is Rachel. Why don't you just join us as we sing happy birthday to her today? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rachel. Happy birthday to you. And God bless those of you that came to the forefront to fight with us for her. And Lord Jesus, thank you for answering our prayers and saving this little remnant child from those slithering snakes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a song that I want to sing before communion. I want you to prepare yourself for communion. No, I'm not saying that you have to make yourself worthy. You don't even have to ask yourself, am I worthy to take communion? Let me give you the answer to that. You're not. There's not one of us worthy. You don't have to be worthy. You have to be obedient. And when you are obedient to the words, do this in remembrance of me, there are blessings to receive. Now, this is the benefit, one of many, that we have from the cross. The coming Branson, Missouri gathering is going to be another gathering of the family reunion of believers. I think we're going to call it the family reunion gathering around the cross. But as a family, a body of believers, a household of faith, on the first day of the week, we gather around the cross. And we partake of communion. And we prepare ourselves to partake of communion. Now, along that line, what I mean by preparing is it's not that you have to decide whether you're worthy or not. It's not a matter of being worthy. It's a matter of being obedient. But when you come to the throne of God, you want to put your best foot forward. Amen. And that means sometimes we just have to say, Lord, like David did, and where is it? Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. We got a new song for you that I want to sing before we go into the communion talk called, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. And he does that when we partake of communion. And music helps us to prepare our hearts for communion. Let's sing the new song that we have for you today. Lord, prepare me. Oh, Lord, please do. All of us.
God, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
have your communion ready, your loaf and your cup. I felt Spirit-led to talk again about the story I read about in Numbers chapter 21, starting with verse 5. You can turn that down a little bit if you would. Numbers 21:5 is the story of the Israelites getting all shook up, freaked out, if you will, that God wasn't going to let them survive. I want you to know that the enemy in this warfare that's being waged right now wants to scare you bad of all the things that could happen. But if you stand firm in your faith, you know that God didn't bring you this far to have you die of the plague or starvation. In fact, if I remember right, it's still there in my book, right there in Psalms 91. The plague will not come near your tent. It's still taught clearly that the Lord knows how to provide for His own, even in the days of famine. Now, our Lord doesn't take kindly to the grumblers, and He sends snakes for those that do. Let's read the story in Numbers chapter 21, starting with verse 5. And the people spoke against God and Moses.
Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?
We'll stop there a second. This country is being afflicted with the wine flu. A bunch of whiners that are ungrateful for all that He's done. And when we were talking about it in Sunday school class, and Dr. Junker was pointing out that a lot of people, it's noticed in his profession, that have cancer, they whine. And they have on the end of their words,
wine, wine, wine.
Don't get caught up in the wine flu. Can you receive that? Let's go back to that scripture, Jason. And the people spoke against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. So, now we've got the wine flu infecting everybody. And the Lord doesn't take kindly the whiners. He wants you to be grateful. Amen. Yeah, that manna may not have tasted like Egyptian pizza, but I tell you, it was probably the most balanced meal you could ever get. 40 years on that, and you didn't have scurvy, let me tell you. We read on. And the Lord sent fiery serpents upon the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. No more whining here. This is serious business. We've sinned because we've spoken against the Lord and you. Yeah, you too, Moses. Intercede with the Lord that He may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Hallelujah. I don't know where the scripture is, but I think I can find it fast enough. Keep your attention glued. It's found in John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. You say, well, what does all this have to do with communion? You'll see as we get that one ready to bring up on the screen. The Lord said, and I will not turn there, but He said it in Jeremiah 8:17, for behold, I'm sending serpents against you, adders for which there is no charm, and they will bite you, declares the Lord. And it occurred to me in preparing for this message and that some of you have been bitten, and that poison just comes in. I know, been snake bitten many a times, and it has a different symptoms. A lot of times it's fever. You get hot underneath the collar. Madder than heaven's antithesis. And then there's pain. Oh, the heartbreak. And then there's anger that the sun sets on and it becomes bitter. And pretty soon you're poisoned. And pretty soon things aren't going so very well with you. Maybe just a little bit. It just sinked in. And the Lord said the solution of that is look at the cross. And Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. He said in John 5, 14 that he was, well, or that serpent was, that bronze serpent was him, representative of him. Let us read it. It says, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, okay, am I in John, sorry, John 3. My apologies. John 3, 14 and 15. John 3, 14 and 15. John 3, 14 and 15. We read, and Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes may in him have eternal life. Do you believe? I do. And I believe that sometimes we just have to look to the cross and look to it. Now, I have prayed over the loaf that you're about to partake. I have prayed blessings. I've used a prayer filter, already activated the prayer filter today, that I might be praying blessings upon the serpents. And the serpents that dare come in to partake, I've asked God to change that blessing to a curse. But I've prayed that you get all the blessings, and there's many of them, in communion. But the blessings come when we come to the cross and we look and we stare intently. And that's what they did. You know, over in Galatians chapter 3, last week we talked about one of the ways we are energized is through visualization. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, I think it is, Galatians 3, 1, it says of the Galatians, now the Galatians, it says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? We can get bewitched. Before whose eyes Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. They were in Galatia at the time of the crucifixion. That's clear over there in the area of France, the way I understand it. They were nowhere around. But how was it that they had Christ crucified before their eyes? It was through, dare I say it, visualization. And when we come to the cross in communion, we visualize, we look to our Lord that hung on the cross. And we stare visually with the eyes of our heart intently. And we look.
And I hope you have your communion ready. Before we partake, though, I just want to, you know, Pastor Peter's had these messages and he put so much into them, and that comes from a lifetime of living. And he had this plaque on his wall that said, the best sermons are lived and not preached. And he preached the best sermons because he lived that life. He was one of those men that God saw fit to put in, called him at an early age, and put him through a lot of fiery trials. And Pastor Peters was one that wasn't afraid to share it and hide it. He didn't put it basically right out in the open the way that it was, and I'm really appreciative about that. It's, you know, obvious that God had a plan for him and to be able to preserve these messages and for us to continue to broadcast them and get them out. And that's, we take that real seriously around here. So appreciate your prayers and your support. But I think that as we partake of communion today, we're going to do just that. You know, and I want to just want to take a moment and we'll you know, have a, I just want us to reflect on our own lives and before we partake. And I want us to think about that. I want us to think about the price that was paid to our Savior, the one that was perfect, the one that didn't deserve to be punished. And we do stuff, we try not to do it all the time, but we do stuff all the time. We do stuff that that is sin. And the wager of sin is death. But through Christ and applying that blood of Jesus Christ to our lives is what frees us from that. And I like how he put it and talked about that. It started off about, you know, being worthy. And we're not worthy without that blood of Jesus Christ. But do apply that blood of Jesus Christ to our lives. That is what makes us worthy. And as we partake today of the body of Christ, that is applying that blood to our lives. That makes us worthy. That makes us worthy to stand before the Son of God. And, you know, you think traumatic things that have happened in every person's life that you think about that maybe changed your life. And, you know, if we think about our Savior being put on that cross and being whipped and being beaten and being pierced and bleeding, for the sins that I've committed, it's a humbling thought. And we are commanded over and over to remember. And I just want us to take this time, take a moment to do that. Remember the price that was paid for our sins. And think about the past on the things that you want to be forgiven of in the last week. And think about things that you don't want to do in the future. And dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just thank you, Father, for this. We thank you, Father, for these emblems. We thank you, Father, the body, the blood. We thank you that our Savior rose from the dead, that he took our sins upon himself. We're grateful for that and we're thankful for that. And Lord, we come before you, and as we partake of communion today, we ask that you just continue to a little bit better. Make us a little bit better this week than we were last week. We pray, Father, that you forgive us of our sins that we committed in the last week. We ask, Father, that you assist us in overcoming those things in the future. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. You may partake. And I got a song that I want to close out with this morning.